you should see me going for cough drops. Have you ever read the instructions on cough drops? Directions. Adults and children 5 years and over, dissolve one drop slowly in the mouth. Repeat every 2 hours as needed. That's about 20 minutes. We eat them like candy. We're going to finish Romans chapter 14 today, Lord willing. Continuing on this theme of basically loving one another. This started back in Romans chapter 12, again with verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're talking right now about how we treat one another. Most importantly, how we treat and view other believers. Most of the time when we see problems with relationships with other believers, it's us looking out and seeing, oh, this person has a problem with this person. Or that person has a, how dare they, you know, look at them having a problem. But we never really look at ourselves. Because obviously, you know, I can't practice any kind of ill behavior towards another believer. I mean, I'm just too spiritual for that. God has brought me too far along to worry about this person's hair length, this person's going to wherever. In the church today, especially within, lack of better terms, churches within our niche, we can be very, very big on confrontation of sin in other believers' lives. I see you walking out of the grocery store with a can of beer in your cart. So I jump to all kinds of conclusions. May I see them on church on Sunday? Are they secretly an alcoholic? I know, Sunday I'm going to get close enough to smell their breath. Maybe they come in Sunday morning. Not realizing that beer-battered fish is on the menu for dinner. Or whatever. Or, Lord forbid, enjoying a can of craft beer with dinner. We need to be careful, not only in when we confront, but how. Because I know in my lifetime, and from my experience with others in their lifetimes, there's a good portion of the time that we go to other believers with our righteous indignation. And it's for something that's not really sinful. And the scripture is clear that confrontation and church discipline is necessary. But at the same time, not one of us here today is Jesus Christ. We cannot read the hearts of another individual. We're not even apostles. Those who were specially gifted in their time to lay the foundation of the church. So yes, when we see a fellow believer in blatant sin, maybe adultery, drunkenness, list the 10, then yes, go, care front. But even in that, the way we handle those situations George, don't do that. That is sin. That's easy on our part. We've just probably drove George as far away from us as possible. Maybe we need to attempt to bring them truth, to try to get them more focused on Christ, so that Christ changes the heart rather than our yelling or our harsh words. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It is the law of love between us and fellow believers. Those who don't necessarily think the same way we do. You don't know how much I love our church. In the fact that we can maintain the doctrines that we teach, and overall, don't come across as heady and high-minded and better than everybody else. There's many churches that kind of verge over into the Reformed area, who, though they would not say it, their practice is that of, we have arrived. We are the only church that anybody can really grow in. God has placed all these other churches around for people to hear His gospel and to possibly get saved. But they need to sit here to truly grow. I have met many a Christian or professed Christian who has the knowledge but does not have the walk. their Christ is here, but I have a hard time with seeing them here and here and here. And we wish to make people like us. I mean, realize that none of you can fit the mold of being spiritual until you fit my expectations. That's how we think. It's not our expectations, it's Christ's expectations. So let's read our passage this morning. Romans chapter 14. We'll begin at verse 13 and finish the chapter. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this: not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but unrighteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Father, we ask your blessing upon this reading of your word. Help me now, Lord, as I try to explain it so that we might understand. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul is going to be dealing with eating and drinking. Okay, this is not the only area where we have troubles in our human lives. But this was something that was very common, very easy to understand with the believers of the day. There were believers who believed they had the liberty to eat and drink anything. There were other believers who, coming out of their backgrounds, still saw it as sinful to eat the things prohibited in the Old Testament, to drink those things that were condemned in the Old Testament, or who had their own feelings on things. Again, I struggle. I struggle in the area with believers and alcohol. I'm upfront about that. I understand the truths that all drinking is not sin. But I can rationalize big long lists of reasons I believe believers shouldn't. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm right for me. I might not be right for you. But how do we treat, how do I treat believers who think and act differently in matters of things that are not specifically condemned in Scripture? Well, Paul starts us out here in verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Guys, we may not know the background of even people that we know and love, even here in the church. There may be triggers within their life that can cause them to maybe doubt Christ, doubt the love that other believers have for them. That may even cause them to stumble back in ways that cause them harm. Some of the children that we adopted, I probably would say most of them, came out of mothers who either drank heavily while they were in her womb or were on drugs. They were fetal alcohol or fetal drug babies. So if I have the freedom and the liberty to enjoy whatever, and I'm going to pick on alcohol. I hate picking on alcohol, but it's for me, it's just so easy. My freedom and my liberty in the use of it could cause a stumbling block to somebody else. One of my children, who are over the age of 21, could come over to your house. We've done our best as parents, raising them, trying to instill within them the dangers that could happen should they drink and become alcoholics. But even in that training of them, that can have an adverse reaction. Because whenever we tell a child not to do something, what do they tend to do? So if I have them over to my house and I bring out adult beverages, and I offer them some, and they kindly refuse. But then me and my wisdom, wanting to teach them that they have freedom as well, push this upon them, because that tends to be what we do. You don't go to the movies? How do you live? I mean, there's no better popcorn than in a movie theater. 101 Dalmatians? What's wrong with that? But once we get the the ball rolling on things like this, it can avalanche. And we don't know what kind of a stumbling block we're throwing in people's way. Paul says, I know and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. I mean, nothing is unclean. Unless it's sin, Big Ten. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. I believe with all my heart that alcohol is wrong for me. As the head of my family, I can even go as far as saying alcohol is wrong for my wife. We are one. The two shall become one. Because me doing something that could cause her to stumble and her doing something that could cause me to stumble is still just as bad. So if we think it to be unclean, then to us, it is unclean. And there's a certain segment of people who live and strive in their liberties, who wish to preach liberties to everyone else. And whether I'm the weaker brother or the stronger brother, because of my feeling on alcohol, that does not play a role in this. Because if I feel it and think it to be unclean, then for me, you know, like King James says that he that, if it's, to him who thinks it is sin, to him it is sin. Don't quote me on that, but. Verse 15, but if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. If I were to ask you what is the most important task for us to do in this lifetime, what would it be? Put you on the spot. Believer, what is your most important task? To proclaim the gospel. That's what is preeminent. I mean, guys, I enjoy food just as much as the next person. You should see my little, I was driving by Sam's Club yesterday. What does Sam's Club have? Free samples. But that's not what I saw yesterday. Normally when I pass Sam's Club, it's free samples. Yesterday, they had about six different food trucks sitting out in the parking lot. Do you know the one that caught my eye? Funnel cake. Mm-hmm. Bacon and funnel cake. The fruit that will be grown on the tree of life in heaven. But I'm a diabetic. I mean, believe me, in watching the practice of my life, you would never know that I was a diabetic. There was a piece, there was a little smidgen of cake left at home this week. Couldn't find anything. The only other sweet thing we had in the house was Pop-Tarts. Yeah, believe me, I've been there. And I started eating the chocolate cake. You know, I've got to eat these things before Beth gets home. Chocolate cake can be a stumbling block for me. But if we do things knowing, you know, that's why all these Christian brothers and sisters who have been bringing us dinner, the stumbling blocks they've been throwing my way. Just kidding. But if we do something that causes somebody to sin, maybe somebody is a fetal alcohol baby who's now grown up. Maybe years ago or 6 months ago or 3 months ago, they were an alcoholic. Maybe they've just gained their 3 month AA pin or coin or whatever they give you. And we want them to live the fulfilled Christian life, that everything is okay. Right? Look what Paul says. I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself. And we stop there. Brother, I'm going to teach you how to eat, drink, dance, play cards, watch movies, have long hair properly. And we throw these speed bumps into other believers' lives, making the things of this world more important than the message of the gospel. And I know sometimes I come across as, I don't know how I come across. You can give me an adjective after service. You can't. But do I sometimes make it seem like it's so very easy to make God center of your life? To put the gospel as preeminent above everything else. That's what I preach. But I also realize that's not always the easiest thing to do. We're so distracted with everything. I'm on a diet. I'm not. Should be, but I'm not. But I'm on a diet. And you want to do something nice for me. And you don't know I'm on a diet. I mean, maybe even I'm fasting today. Lost art that we don't practice anymore. And you come and get me because we're going to go to men's study. And you show up early. And you take me to Shoney's. I'm sorry, you can't go to Shoney's and just not eat.
And I say that just because we don't necessarily know what's going on in people's lives. And sometimes it's not even our intention to be a stumbling block. But just through those things that are central and important in our life, if that is not Christ and His gospel, we can be that speed bump. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. We were talking in Sunday school today. Different believers that are on our Facebook page who almost every picture that they post is of some kind of alcoholic beverage. They then become known for that. Is it wrong to drink a glass of wine? Can't find it. Is it wrong to drink a beer? I don't see it. Is it wrong to get drunk? That's there. But don't let what is good for you to be spoken of as evil. Oh, everything she posts, or everything he posts, has an alcoholic beverage in it. They just must be a lush. By the end of the night, they just must be gone. Are they? Probably not. Most believers, or some believers, I can't say for certain, that I know of who do feel that liberty, they stop at one. So do they go and get drunk? No. But if that's all you see of them, if that's all you know of them, then is their reputation of being for Christ or being for a particular activity? And that can be eating and smoking and dancing and karaoke. Tattoos? Are tattoos wrong? Okay. I didn't hear you. But can they? That's fine. But can they be addictive? If they're addictive and that's all you think about, and that's all you do is save up every last penny for your next tattoo, can that then be wrong? I think that's what Paul's trying to get across. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Okay. Basically, the kingdom of God is not anything of this world, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many times have you found yourself at Shoney's taking a bite of eggs?
and potatoes and biscuits and gravy and go, It's about once or twice a week for me, but how many times do we find ourselves going, over righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and improved by man. I mean, can we be a bad testimony in our service for Christ? Westboro Baptist Church. They would say that they are serving Christ. Does everybody know when they hear that, do they know what that is? I'm not that old, am I? This is back probably in the early, the between 2001 and 2010. Yeah. 12, 15 years ago, they were the people that would, in the name of God, show up at soldiers' funerals, condemning them. They were the ones that would show up at, I guess, pride parades with the God hates fags signs. Just a little misguided, I would say, in their application of God's word. But if we put Christ first and rejoice in his righteousness and peace and joy, men will not have anything proper to condemn us for. They may still condemn us because of their hatred of Christ and the things of God, but they will not be able to condemn us because of our worldly actions. Verse 19, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Are you able to fellowship with believers who do not necessarily think the same way that you do? It's a good question. I mean, and most of us would probably say we're thinking different denominations and churches, and yeah, that one's okay, and that one's okay. I mean, guys, do you realize Methodists actually pray? They do. But we get so high and mighty. We don't pursue those things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Don't take these menial things. Don't ruin another believer's life because you don't understand where they came from. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats meat, who eats and gives offense. So even though that steak, which which is perfectly good to most. If someone has somewhere read in here and is convinced that we should only be vegetarians, we may not understand that. But to him who knoweth it to be good, or I'm getting ahead of myself. If anything is unclean, to him it is unclean. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Can we question things? Is that okay? I mean, Jerry doesn't believe that as a postman, he should walk his route. He's got one of those little Segway things. He doesn't, but. Or like the little mailman that I've seen out here on a Saturday, who's in his little mail truck and drives from house to house to house. Not with the mailbox out at the street, but pops out of his truck at each house. You know, I'm being silly on this, but is it okay to question, Jerry? Why do you ride the Segway? George, why do you feel it's okay to drink or not drink? You know, Dan, what is your aversion to alcohol? I'd love to spend 3 or 4 hours talking about it. So it's not okay, it's not wrong to ask questions. It's wrong to make presumptions. Especially before we even have heard the answers. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything in which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Be careful. Again, and this all goes back to our testimony. This all goes back to who people see that we are. Do people see me as a glutton? I talk an awful lot about food. Outside of my wife and my family and God, it's probably my favorite subject. I mean, all the good things God has made. And all the people that he has produced to make it even better. But he that doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. We need to be careful, especially with those who have different opinions, standards, convictions, views. We center so much on what I was taught to term as gray areas. Those things that Scripture does not necessarily allow or prohibit. We spend our time in that, not realizing that we can take somebody else who has an issue, take them into our gray area, and it takes them into a black area. Father, I ask that you would help us in our practice of following you, to to help us not to be a stumbling block in other people's way. I mean, Father, it could be so many different things we didn't even talk about today. Gossip comes to my mind. Lord, anything that would take somebody from a proper view of you and a proper view of how they should live into something that could cause them to stumble and fall. Lord, as we look at each and every one of our lives, we realize that for the most part, we don't need help to stumble. Lord, I can be my own stumbling block. My spiritual feet get twisted enough just because of myself. Help me not to throw things in front of other people to cause them to fall even more. Father, may we keep the gospel at the forefront. Father, if we're busy proclaiming the gospel, I doubt we'd have much time to throw stumbling blocks in the path of others. And Lord, I know this is not an easy task. Lord, I still struggle. I still struggle keeping my face upon you at all times. But Father, help us that we might be able to do that and earn the name of Christian, little Christs. Bless this body. Bless these believers this morning. May you help us, Lord, to look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.